my first observation is that about 3,700 people have lost their lives from COVID so far because of this pandemic. And that's, you know, terrible. People who probably would have were dying prematurely. And it's terrible for the people, for their loved ones. But every year, because of the scale of inequality we have in this society, thousands of people die anyway, prematurely. There was a report published, which nobody paid any attention to, in 2002, Inequalities in Mortality. And that showed, it was found that 5,000 people died prematurely every year here because of the scale of inequality. And I tweeted this some time ago, and smart-ass economists said, yeah, yeah, that was 18, 19 years ago. Anyway, it was based on data from some years previously. That was true. But the reason the CSO has recently published material that shows that there's still a huge differential in mortalities between people who are well off and people who are really badly off. And I just make that point to illustrate the point that, yes, we're devastated by the fact that 3,700 people have died from COVID, but several thousand people die prematurely here every year, and we pay no attention to it. And I just think this is bizarre, and maybe there should be some focus on this. That's one point. Second point regarding the zero COVID strategy. I don't know whether it's possible or not. That's not my area of expertise. I'm not sure there's any area of expertise. But it struck me right at the beginning of this of these lockdowns that that you have to quarantine people and simply tell them to stay in their bedrooms at home or whatever. It's silly. And certainly at the beginning of the of this pandemic thing, when Italians came in, who had booked to come here because of the Ireland-Italy match, which was deferred, that coming from Italy, which was then infested with COVID, and we did nothing about it. Similarly, we allowed loads of people to come back from loads of Irish people to come back from Cheltenham, people will remember, hundreds, maybe thousands of people to come back from Cheltenham. And inevitably, some of those wouldn't have taken much precautions to avoid infection while at Cheltenham. But we did nothing about it. And why those people weren't all required to go into quarantine for 2 weeks in a hotel room, I don't understand it, nor do I understand why that hasn't been the practice all along. And I think that Tomás knows far more about it, than similar to Mary. But one feature that strikes me as significant is the manner in which the vaccine program is being, as they call it, rolled out. It's hardly the word for it. Like, crept out would be perhaps more suitable. We need about 5 million vaccines altogether. The reason I say that is that about 3.5 million people will want to be vaccinated, and why only 3.5 million? Because children won't be vaccinated, as some, and also the loopers won't be vaccinated. So 3.5 million people will be vaccinated, and half of those will require two vaccinations. So we require about 5 million vaccinations. And every now and again, we hear celebration about there's 10,000 vaccinations coming in next week, or if not next week, the week after, or the week after that. And there's somehow celebration about this. We are so far away from dealing with this phenomenon in vaccinating people that it is almost inevitable There will be several more lockdowns before this is ended. Certainly one more lockdown before this is ended. This lockdown will end in March because of the political pressures to end it. And then there will rise in the number of infections and the number of deaths, and then there'll be another lockdown. And it's largely because, or partly because, of the manner in which the vaccination issue is being dealt. But I know there's a problem with supplies, but I'm not sure the problem is as grave as it is, would necessarily as grave as it is, but it seems inevitable there will be further lockdowns in the absence of quarantine. And anyway, that's my perspective on this.